Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Disney vs. Disney Debates. I am your host and not Grandmaster this week, Zane C. Weber. Now, this is a very special episode. This is the last episode of our round two debates.
What?
So, this is the last of the canonical round two. After this, we will have two debates which are wild cards, yes, and two debates which are pop votes. But this is the last one to get through to round three.
Having without, one from one.
With, well, yeah, without being dropped out at some point.
Yes.
Now, I'm not Grandmaster this time because it has become a tradition that in the last episode of every round, I will debate one of the movies, and this time I'm debating for the movie that I was debating against last time.
Wonderful.
What a twist of fate.
So I'm debating
for... I
feel
like it's all gone a little awry, but it's fine.
It's fine. I am debating for Snow White, and I have here Stacey Hobbs.
Hello.
Defending Cinderella.
Cinderella,
Stacey Hobbs,
right,
of course, from Disney Grown Up.
Yes.
Sister podcast on the network.
Look, can't get enough Disney in my life. Obviously.
Who can?
Oh.
Now, you might be asking, but Zane, if you're not Grandmaster, who could possibly do that job?
I don't know, but I'm here anyway.
Miranda Selwood is stepping up today to be our transitional Grandmaster, I'm going to say.
Okay.
Or, yes, Vice Grandmaster.
Vice. A Grandmaster, acting Grandmaster. It's...
Does that acting work Grandmaster. Yeah, that suits well. And fact checking us today is none other than Kristen Barros.
Hello, it's me, KB. Fact checking for the first time in my Disney voice.
Now, I would just like to, as is tradition, ask the fact checker if they have any bias to declare.
Between Snow White and Cinderella, no. For me, they're very equal in my love.
Okay.
I love an original Disney princess movie.
Good. That's the best way to do it. So
they are early ones.
They are early ones.
Yes.
So this round, like all others this round, have this debate, as in all others this round, we will have 6-minute opening arguments with a warning at 5, cut off by Darkwing Duck at 6. The warning sounds like this. And Duckwing Duck sounds like this.
The jig is up, you jaded jug-headed jack-in-the-box.
Doesn't get any less rude.
And then we go on to the second round, which is a cross-examination by the Grandmaster and Fact Checker. And then finally, 3-minute summaries. So, we have rolled a dice, and I won.
Oh, of course.
And I have chosen to go second.
Oh.
Did you roll the dice, say?
No, Miranda rolled the dice.
Miranda did.
And Stacey chose the number.
I'm just making sure people know that it wasn't rigged.
I hate choosing too. I'd rather the other person choose. But that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, so I guess, Stacey, your time starts when you start talking.
Cinderella is a Disney classic, and Cinderella herself is instrumental in the Disney princess empire. One of the most famous fairy tales, Cinderella is a masterpiece of animation from Disney, so much so that you forget that it is 70 years since it was animated. You get lost in the storytelling, the depth of the world, the mischief of the characters, and the overall joy of the film, something that is true of all Disney films, but particularly mastered in Cinderella. It comes as no surprise then that in 2018, the film was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. Cinderella was the first full-length feature film for Disney where the music was scored after the base animation had been done and it was time for inking, similarly to how live-action movies are scored. This meant that the music perfectly fit the action on screen and became some of the great magic of the film. Watching Gus Gus creep along while perfectly accompanied by a clarinet is brilliant fun. The movie features wonderfully singable, fun and catchy songs. A Dream is a Dream Your Heart Makes is a smooth, melodic lullaby, and Eileen Wood's voice is smooth and soothing. The song introduces us to the beauty and kindness that Cinderella holds and leads into some of the most gorgeously hummable scores in the movie. Sweet Nightingale, an unlikely duet between Cinderella and her stepsisters, illustrates the vast divide between Cinderella's goodliness and talent and the stepsisters' harsh, intolerable... Oh my gosh, I cannot speak today. Stepsisters' harsh, intolerable squawking that illustrates their foul character. The mice singing about Cinderella as they make the dress is adorable and provides some of the most incredible Disney magic as a film, as does a splendid bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. But we can't forget So This Is Love, one of the best love duets featured in Disney to date. The score and the voices soar in this duet, and it would not find itself out of place on the stage. The storytelling in Cinderella is some of Disney's best. We open with a gorgeous motif with a background story told in deep, illustrious motifs. We feel the cruelty of Lady Tremaine as she looks forebodingly over Cinderella, and the use of colour and depth is used to great effect. Mood is used particularly well in the film, from Cinderella's dismay at the morning chimes of the clock to Lady Tremaine's and Lucifer's shadows looming over their prey. The atmosphere of the ball from when Cinderella enters to the love bubble she and the prince escapes to, and that final moment when Cinderella reveals that she has a second slipper are gold. Lady Tremaine is also deliciously evil. When she orders something of Cinderella, she doesn't have to make threats. It is clear that she is capable of great cruelty. Cinderella's lament of being trapped in her room as a slipper is brought to the house is pure Disney princessness. And Lady Tremaine's satisfaction is tactile. The animation... led by Disney's 9 old men, who are well known for their mastery in animation, is lovingly created, and there's some truly difficult but stunning sequences in the film. One of my favourite moments in the film is the bubble scene where Cinderella sings as she scrubs the floor. The air is filled with gorgeous bubbles with multiple Cinderellas reflected, who sing in harmony with each other. Disney is a master of making the mundane magical, and this scene is a masterclass. Another mind-blowing piece of animated wizardry is the transformations of Cinderella's fairy friends into horses, coachmen and footmen, not to mention the pumpkin being turned into a spectacular coach. While scenes like this seem commonplace for Disney, the skill required to create such fantastic moments like this seamlessly is not one to scoff at, particularly when it was made in the late 1940s and released in 1950. But the shining jewel in the crown that is Cinderella has got to be the moment her dress is turned into a magnificent gown. This sparkle and delight that is every girl's dream outfit is perfectly captured and is still breathtaking, even by today's standards. In fact, this moment was mentioned by Disney when asked what his favourite piece of animation was. The characters in the movie are delightful. There are so many characters. You have Gus Gus and Jacques and the rest of the mice in general, who are so incredibly adorable. You have Bruno, who has these beautiful night dreams and just really wants to get at Lucifer the cat, who is the cat. Everyone knows a Lucifer the cat. He is the devil himself. Major the horse, you've got Drizella and Anastasia, who are hilarious evil stepsisters. Lady Tremaine with her beautiful green piercing eyes. And the King and the Grand Duke provide some spectacular character work. Comparing Cinderella to Snow White is, of course, comparing two princesses with each other. Cinderella is 19 to Snow White's 14, and that makes a significant difference to the characters. As Snow White is so young, her voice is deliberately squeaky and high, which does no favours for the recording technology of the time, which makes her irritatingly tinny for the entire movie. Compared to Cinderella's smooth, round tones, Snow White is grating. Snow White also starts very abruptly. While Cinderella takes time to set up the story and characters, Snow White starts straight with the Evil Queen, and though she immediately recognises Snow White's from the mirror's description, we have no idea who she is or how she is related to the Evil Queen, especially as she is just referred to as the Queen. It is also incredibly dark. The Evil Queen goes from finding out Snow White is a threat to immediately ordering her execution slash assassination. And not only that, asks for Snow White's heart to be cut out and brought to her. And we next see the Evil Queen holding the heart in a case triumphantly. That's straight up messed up. Snow White is also unfortunately quite stupid. The Evil Queen's design is completely transparent when she becomes a little old lady. Her friendly bird companions straight up warn her that she is not good news at all, and she's weirdly pushing her apples on Snow White, but she really has no clue and eats it anyway. while these are two very important princesses, Cinderella prevails as a stronger, more memorable princess, and she deserves her place in the Disney elite.
Okay.
Nice.
Didn't need all your time. Power move. Let's see if I can do the same. I'll do it in less than 5.5 minutes.
Ooh, I'd like to see you try.
I did run out of space. I don't know how you do all these notes
shorthand.
In one page.
Shorthand is how I do it.
Yeah, but not
lots of circling and stars and arrows pointing to other
you're
things.
You're going to need some more room, right? Start a second page. Start a second page.
Well, no. Unfortunately, the next the facing page already has things on it. It's all very complicated. No. It's okay. I'll be okay.
Will you, Miranda?
Are there any facts that needed to be checked?
I double checked in terms of the scoring. That's similar to a live action film. All true. The process before Cinderella was called Mickey Mousing, which was how they like kind of did it manually, whereas this one, not the case. It was also nominated to be put into the Library of Congress there. So well done. Fact.
Yep.
Checked. The ages of Cinderella and Snow White also checked. And there is, I looked up the Evil Queen's kind of definition just to see, because I never actually realized before that we don't know. We know from the fairy tale that she's stepmother, but there is no mention that she is there's no backstory at all, which
I thought, again, I assumed that as well, and then I watched it again. I'm like,
no,
wait, what?
No, all there. Damn. All checked, all fact. Well done, Stace.
Oh, thank you.
All right,
very, very factual.
I shall now give you my counter arguments to Stacey's very poignant arguments.
You look, my body is ready.
Okay. Cinderella may be a classic. I won't deny that it is one of the most popular Disney films ever made. But it only exists because of Snow White. Snow White was the first full-length animated film. It was called Walt Disney's Folly because no one thought it could be done. He had to remortgage his house to do it. It went 3 times over budget at least, and still it stands today as one of the greatest achievements in filmmaking. He won an Oscar for it, a special Oscar, along with 7 little other miniature Oscars.
It's so cute.
Because, again, the Academy didn't have a way to define or award something for a film like this. It is simple. It's a simple story told simply. It is dark. It is very true to the source material, as is Cinderella. And I don't think that we can take it to task for being too dark because of that. If the subject matter goes in that direction to begin with. And so I think Walt Disney would have been held to account if he didn't follow where the subject matter led. It took 3 years to produce. Over 750 artists completed more than 2 million sketches. It included over 250,000 drawings. So many songs were written for Snow White. Only 8 were included. I believe 25 were written, 8 were included. And some of them I still sing almost, well, maybe daily, sometimes weekly. That one specifically is Hi Ho Hi Ho, off to work I go. Because who wants to be working at work? Okay, now, this Snow White is so integral to Disney and is such an integral Disney film because of the archetypes that it uses. Yes, the Evil Queen doesn't have a name because she epitomizes what the Disney villain is. It is the first use of the iconic green color to show evilness in Disney. This is reflected later on in Sleeping Beauty and then again in, I guess, in The Lion King with Scar, and then over and over again. The use of woodland creatures and the friendship of the woodland creatures that Snow White has. Again, we see that in Cinderella. Also, it is not the princess's striving that overcomes the evil at the end. It is the princess's good nature, because she's a good person and she does right by the people around her. She inspires others. This is something that has lived on throughout the Disney princess canon. And I can't keep coming back to this enough. Without Snow White, Disney would have failed. Disney Studios in Burbank was built with the profits directly from this movie. No Cinderella, no Sleeping Beauty, no Lion King or Aladdin. We would have nothing if not for Snow White. Now, it might be simple, but it was classed as too scary for general audiences in the UK. Audiences in the UK under 16 needed to be accompanied by an adult to see this film. Again, because it was the first of its kind, they were still trying to figure out what was going on. Now, when it comes to originality, Snow White is an adaptation, yes. So is Cinderella. And Cinderella has been adapted over and over and over and over by people other than Disney. Snow White is an integral Disney film. Disney would not exist without Snow White. Cinderella would not exist without Snow White. Snow White built Disney and made Disney what it is today. Also, it made Disney princesses what they are today. If Snow White is not the winner of this debate, then you all hate Disney. The end. 4.5 minutes. Mic drop.
I don't know which column to put that in.
Under threats? Is it under threats?
I don't have a column for that. Hang on, let me just...
That is hyperbole if ever I heard it. That's
I couldn't
amazing.
Type fast enough for that one, Zay.
I'm sorry.
That's a fun one.
Whoa, wow.
That was a big one. Walt Disney did mortgage his house.
He did.
You were correct. I give you that tick. The budget of the film, it did go 400% over budget.
Yep.
Tick.
See, is that a pro or a con?
It's that they invested so much in it, that they believed in it so much. And yeah. It was a success.
It was a success. It did build the Burbank studios with the profits. That was tick. Well done. It did win a special Oscar with 7 dwarf statuettes. Well done, tick. You've been very well. Yeah, look, there were lots of sketches. All the figures are correct. Check. Zane is very good.
I wasn't too sure on my songs, though. I know 8 were included. I didn't know whether it was 15 or 25 that were written for it. But basically,
I can look. I can look that.
That
up.
Happens with all movies.
It was too scary for the UKers. Oh, okay. The one where I want to like contest it is that Snow White has been made into lots of different reiterations, not necessarily with Disney itself, but it does have Snow White and the Huntsman, and the Huntsman and Mirror Mirror, and even Sydney White was based on Snow White.
Now,
and Seven
this
Dwarfs.
Was some independent research that I did, so I can't point you to a source for this.
Yeah,
but it was specifically for the number of iterations of the Cinderella story.
Yes.
There has
been a lot
more
Cinderella, yeah. But there have.
And that was my point. I wasn't saying Snow White hasn't been, yeah. But Cinderella is something that is remade over and over again.
Great. And that's all. I couldn't. The rest I was like, I'm going to check the songs now, though.
Okay, well, let's take a short break and we'll come back with a cross-examination.
Okay, so it is time for a little cross-examination. So this is where I get to start getting my own back.
I'm ready.
I ended up with a lot of pros for both of your movies, and though I got a few cons from Stacey about Snow White, you didn't really go in with the attack for Cinderella. But I think the biggest thing between these two movies is, you know, Snow White set up the model for the princess film, which is a major staple of Disney's entire canon. Let's talk princesses. So I'd like each of you to talk a little about the virtues of your princess, their positive character traits and what they teach particularly young girls, which is sort of the market that these films were really pushing toward. And a little bit about their action in the film and the consequences, maybe what they learn or teach through action.
Mm.
So what they bring to the stories, I suppose. Who wants to go first?
I'm happy to.
Go for it. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to be
Snow
like...
Snow White, the Cinderella in the cage match.
Okay.
Cage match.
So can I just get clarified? You want a little bit of discussion on the virtues of our princess?
Yes. What makes them the definitive princess of the canon that I mean, it's probably a little bit easier in that Snow White really did define that.
Yes,
in the start, but that definition of the princess in the canon shifted and changed right through to, you know, Merida, Moana,
So
the Frozen Princess.
The reason I didn't go too hard on the negatives of Cinderella is because I think both of these are good films, and I don't think we can gain much from picking on their filmic flaws, because again, these are films that defined what the genre is. So the difference between Snow White and Cinderella for me is what they represent. Cinderella represents hope that her life can get better, that if she just hangs in there, she can find something better. Snow White is about innocence. She is someone who bears no one ill will and only wants the best for everyone in whatever circumstance she is. She isn't attached to her princess label. She's more than happy to find this cottage and help the seven men that live there clean up, make their lives better, and send them on their way and just fit into this new existence. Her innocence is what sets her up in opposition to the evil queen, who is so attached to that role, to being the most beautiful and to being the queen. So I think those are what they represent. I think Snow White is the more effective princess because she is, in essence, what a princess should be. She is already a princess, and a princess should be innocent and only want the best for those around her. Cinderella is, then this is by no way a bad thing about Cinderella, she's not a princess already. She becomes a princess through her virtues in the story. So I think Snow White as a princess is the more archetypical and therefore the better princess that all others will in turn be compared to. She's very young, and that's again part of the innocence, and I think that is why we can't really compare the older princesses as they come in against her, because she is just a child who's had this label of princess put on her, and because she embodies all of this goodness, that is the bar that everyone else has to either meet or exceed to be considered a good Disney princess.
Okay. Stacey.
Yes. I think Zane makes excellent points. They're very hard to compare because they are very similar in a lot of ways. And I do agree that it's a strength and a weakness, their differences in ages. Snow White is a lot younger. They present her in like poor clothing and getting water for a well. They don't really describe how she spends her days, though. But we do see a lot of that in Cinderella. So we see that she's trapped in her circumstances. She's in a well-off family, but she's not treated as such. She's put in a position where she has to work for this family who are pretty much benefiting from her father's money, yet does that with kindness. The stepsisters are straight up horrible to her, as is Lady Tremaine, literally ripping apart her dress from her body. Yet she never says a bad word to them. And in fact, even scolds Bruno when he goes to attack Lucifer and is like, well, that's not okay. This is their house and we need to be respectful and we need to be kind to each other. And Cinderella's got a lot more spunk than Snow White. So when the invitation arrives and they're invited to the ball, and Cinderella is the one who points out, well, it's every woman in the household, therefore I could go as well. And if I can make my own dress and I do all my chores, you know, I should be able to go. She stands up for herself, whereas in Snow White, everything happens to her. So the prince finds her at the well. She gets attacked by the hunter and he tells her to run, so she runs. The animals lead her to a house. The old lady comes and gives her the apple and she does it. She's lying in the glass coffin and the prince comes and kisses her. Everything happens to her and around her, it's a bit problematic about the prince finding her at the end. 14. But
I mean, if we want to just talk like source material.
Oh, mate. Yeah. There's a problem. But I'm not, that's not my main point. My main point is that things happen to Snow White. She doesn't really have a lot of agency. Cinderella, while there are some similar themes in that, she does have more agency in that she does stand up for herself, she does fight back, she makes noise, she tries to capture the attention. She goes to the ball and she And the whole Disney magic of him not knowing who she is. But she could have been recognised. Like her mum, her stepmother and her sisters could have noticed her, and that could have turned out really badly for her, yet she had the gumption to do it anyway. And she, yeah, she pushed there. And then at the end when she in her dream, kind of walked away and went, no, this is what I want to pursue the prince. So she's much more, has much more of her own agency. And as you can see in the Disney canon, that just became stronger and stronger and stronger because, you know, you've got your Belles and then your Meridas and your Moanas as it goes along. So I think while, yes, Snow White was the first and it was limited a bit, I think, by its source material, I think they really built on that with Cinderella and gave her more oomph. They weren't there yet, but she definitely had more oomph and agency than Snow White did. And definitely is, if I wanted a role model for my children, Cinderella would be the role model. Out of those two, specifically just those two, I would go for Cinderella.
Okay. So let's talk morality tale, because that is the wheelhouse of Disney. They pick up on the fairy tales that have been told over and over again, and really push the moral of the story. It's something that you see in Disneyland parks and things, and we certainly still see these two princesses still represented in all of the Disney franchise.
Yes.
Mm. I'd like you to talk to how effective your film is in presenting the moral tale.
Okay.
That message of the film that says, here's ultimately, boys and girls, what we all learnt from this, and how effective your film was in delivering that message to its key audience. So we're talking children.
Do you want me to go first?
You went first last time, so I'm just looking at you.
Okay. okay, so I think the moral of Snow White is in direct opposition to the moral of Cinderella. In that, the moral of the story is, if you do your best and are a good person to everyone around you, you will find your way, or good things will find their way to you. Whereas Cinderella, the moral is kind of inverse. Like, if you're a good person, bad things can still happen. You have to fight to find your happy ending. So I think in Snow White, it comes back to the innocence moral. It is the moral of parents want their children to be innocent and good, and to not give in to the evil that surrounds them, regardless of how intense that evil is. If you're being chased through the woods by a huntsman who wants to cut out your heart, you're not going to suddenly turn on him and try to gouge out his eyes with your fingernails. You're just going to keep running. if you find this house and it is dirty and there are men living there, you know that you need to live there, so you're going to try and make a good impression on them, clean up the house, take care of them as much as you can, because that is what you can offer. In terms of feminism, in a modern sense, that's not what we want from our girls now. And I think that is just an object of both the source material and the film of the time. But I think when it comes to delivering the morals that the original tale has, and I think the movie is incredibly effective in doing so, because Snow White, Stacey said Snow White is ineffective, and everything happens to her, but I think that is the intrinsic part of her character. She is a young child who is purity itself, and so her strength is in maintaining that purity despite all of the things that are bombarding her from the outside. And the fact that she doesn't give in to the suspicion of the animals when they're trying to tell her about the apple, that she doesn't give in to the suspicion of the old lady, is the moral of the story, that she is so pure of heart that she will trust anyone.
Okay.
I did fact check how old Snow White's prince was, just to make it less problematic.
Did it make it less problematic?
Yes, Disney fandom has told us that Prince Florian is 16 years old.
Florian.
So there's only a 2-year age difference. It's very Romeo and Juliet at this point.
Yeah. Except no one dies.
I do appreciate you looking that up.
Yeah, because it is a big thing, because he doesn't look 16, does he?
I love that you made that point, Zane, about the differences that we want for women now and except for women. As I was preparing for this, I was listening to our live Disney Grown Up. We did a watch with me, Cinderella, and we were smoking, and I made a comment about, like, I love how, like, being kind, like, being kind and good is equated to, like, being happy about doing chores. Like, that's, like, like, those two things are intertwined in these kind of movies. And we had a bit of a about that.
For both your princesses.
Yes.
Yeah. Under very different circumstances, they are satisfied with what they can contribute by sweeping.
But I think they have slightly different it is a slightly different motivation. I mean, Snow White has Whistle While You Work, which is a like a working song. Cinderella sings while she works, but she doesn't sing about working. It's
she
more
seems
like
to distract herself.
Yeah, essentially. So like where Snow White goes and finds a house and it's all lovely and all, it's less clean. Look at all these dishes. And it's just such it's just such a funny scene now, like looking at it, it's comical. But anyway. Whereas Cinderella is well, as Zane said, is a victim of her circumstances. She is a good and wonderful person, and she's being trapped in this situation where she wouldn't really have a lot of other options apart from staying where she was. Yet, despite the many, many, many years of being in the situation, she has remained good and kind and to these pretty despicable people. And I think, yeah, we have it is a similar moral but also a dissimilar moral in that and I actually agree with Zane in that we live in a about the moral of Cinderella in that we do live in a world that it doesn't really matter what, how good a person you are or what good choices you make, bad things will happen and bad people will do mean things to you. And it's about your response to that. I think that's really the key. And I do think that the moral of Cinderella, she doesn't start as a princess. She works her butt off. She's kind and loving about it. She sticks up for herself. And in the end, she gets that outcome that she wants from it. And she actually, princes is another interesting topic, like prince versus prince. Because even in him as well, he kind of, when his dad's like, you got to get married and I want grandbabies and we're going to have a ball. And he's like, oh, dad, like, that's the worst. Like, it's so boring. Like, I'm not going to meet a girl at a ball. Like, I'm not just going to look at her and be like, I want to marry her. That's dumb. I want to find it. Like, I want to know her. I mean, he ends up doing it. But the point is he makes a good point for a prince. And a lot of these tropes are, you know, you just look at each other and you fall in love. It still exists in Cinderella, but I think it's positive for a 1950 movie that they actually made the comment about that's a bit unrealistic. And so I think together that the portrayal of both of them actually gives quite a good
yeah, well, thanks for nothing,
about.
Stacey. Yeah, I think they both do that well.
I meant the prince and Cinderella. I meant the two Prince Charming and Cinderella together.
Snow White and Cinderella.
Sorry, I meant that they both push what was very, tropey and very accepted archetypes of those characters. They pushed that a bit. Not the way that we do now, but they did push that. Together and so there's while Cinderella is awesome and great, they actually did that with the prince as well, which I think is pretty mad.
And that is the difference. Sorry, because I think maybe I did the same thing, whereas Cinderella's good but Snow White's also good. I think Snow White did it better because if the prince was removed from Snow White, I think as long as someone and she woke up from the apple being knocked out of her mouth or whatever, I think Snow White would be happy in the situation with or without the prince. I think with Cinderella, she needs that prince to rescue her from that situation. And she's not really asking for help. She's just manipulating the situation. Whereas I think Snow White, with the innocence, it is just kind of good things will come to good people. And whether or not that is the moral we want to get out of the movie, I think the movie's very good at getting that moral across.
Interesting. Well, all of that was very unhelpful on most points.
How are you going, Miranda?
But I'm glad we got to talk about it. All in all, these two movies are very similar beasts. Mm. You know, how they treat their characters and how they work with, you know, the Disney tropes. One of them created it. One of them took that next step with it. But if we're talking about just as a last very, very short point.
Yes.
If Snow White set up the formula and Cinderella was the next step of the Disney princess franchise, I know Sleeping Beauty was in there we don't talk about it. she's got a castle at Disneyland.
She's later.
But you know that step between the two of them, would Disney have got there without Snow White having happened first? If it had happened later, like how important was what was set up in Snow White for them to be able to take that next step?
I don't think you can question how important it was. I think it is the most important thing that ever happened to Disney is Snow White. If Snow White didn't succeed, Disney wouldn't exist. But even if Disney existed and they didn't make Snow White and something else was successful that paved the way, I think the success of Snow White gave birth to the Disney princess that is such a ubiquitous thought throughout Western culture now. We have a Disney princess line of, like, we have Disney princesses to thank for Mulan and Pocahontas and Moana and Merida. We have all these things that we've spoken about. I think Snow White, if Snow White didn't succeed, Disney princesses wouldn't be a thing. They would have gone on to do things like The Black Cauldron and more kind of adventure-y sort of things. And I think we owe so much to the Disney princess line for giving everyone a cultural touch point to talk about how women view women. And I think if we didn't have Snow White, we wouldn't have that ubiquitous cultural touch point. And I think that's what the importance of Disney is. Everyone has seen one of these films and can talk about what the character in that film does and how we should view that from a standpoint moving forward and treatment of women in general. And I think that my point kind of makes itself is that we don't have that touch point for men moving forward, because we don't have a Disney prince line. We don't have a Disney heroes line. We have a Disney princess line. And that is so important when talking about feminism and the way that women can communicate with each other, because we all know what we're talking about. So I think Snow White and the invention of the Disney princess is incredibly important when talking about Disney and the culture that Disney has created.
But if they had picked up the Cinderella story first.
That would be my point, is that it's instrumental in that he was the first, and for whatever reason Disney was like, that's the one I want to do. But I think if it was a different fairy tale, female-led fairy tale, I think we would be in the same position.
See, I would say Cinderella and Snow White, very similar stories.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Cinderella is has the darkness, has the shock value, has the kind of the menace that Snow White does. And that is what a big part of what caused the kind of interest in Snow White, not only the fact that it was the first animated film, which if it was Cinderella, it would still be the first animated film. The fact that it was an accurate retelling and this provocative thing that both made people laugh and get scared and worried with this innocent character. I think Cinderella is a lovely story about a very pure character, and it's told very well, but I don't know that Cinderella is as provocative as Snow White was if it was released at the same time.
And it was the, you think, the provocation.
If it was the first of the Disney franchise, I don't know if it would have spawned the Disney princess line in the same way that Snow White did.
Well, we'll have to get our time turners.
The only way to know.
To 1937.
Well, you guys should talk while I review my notes. That's how this works, right?
Cinderella is great. Like,
summary?
Oh, no, we haven't done our summary.
Oh, God.
Break.
Oh,
I am famous for just skipping sections.
I dislike Cinderella still.
All right. Come on then. You want to give some closing statements? Like, that's going to make any difference. Okay, good. Let's do this. Well, Stacey's going first.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
I'm not ready. It's not usually you who says it. I'm not prepared.
I'm sorry. I've thrown everything off.
All right.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Your time starts when you start talking.
So, yes, Snow White was the first full-length Disney film and the first Disney princess, but that doesn't discount the power of the story of Cinderella and the iconic movie that has become. Yes, it has been a lot of iterations of Cinderella, a lot of adaptations, and that is because people truly love the story. The story of Cinderella, that you can start off as this in these poor circumstances, that you can work hard, that you can still be true to yourself and be kind, yet overcome your circumstances, is something that people really resonate with. And you can tell that because this story has been adapted again and again and again. Cinderella is... the imagery of Cinderella is iconic in the Disney canon. And in fact, the Cinderella castle is the icon of Magic Kingdom. It is right up there with your Sleeping Beauty castle, with that iconic imagery that we associate so strongly with Disney. And Disney, I believe that the Disney Cinderella version is the iconic, the well-known, the one of the first things that people think of, if not the first thing that people think of when they think of this story of Cinderella. The movie also really leaned heavily into this beautiful music that really accompanied the gorgeous animation that was happening on the screen, and these really singable songs, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo and A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes and Sweet Sweet Nightingale, So This Is Love. These are songs, and Cinderella, Cinderella, we sing along with these. It's such a joy, and so much so that they actually released a children's album of music so that the kids could listen to this at home, something that was quite new for them. It is a beautiful story that really has been adopted. Cinderella is a wonderful example of a princess. She has gumption. She has agency. She works hard. She sticks up for herself and she makes things happen for herself. She doesn't wait for things to happen to her. And that is something that I want my children to be following. That is something that I think is a powerful message. While Snow White is beautiful and innocent, she relies too heavily on fate. And we know we're in a world where fate is essentially what you make of it yourself. And you can't just expect that if you do good things will happen to you. You won't always have a prince who's going to be coming around and to kiss you and wake you up. You might just be dumb enough to eat a poisoned apple and die.
Wow.
Sorry. So of these two, I do think Cinderella is superior. I think Cinderella herself is superior. I think that Cinderella's Prince Charming is superior. And I think the characters overall for the film are much better written and much more memorable, which is why the story is so iconic.
Okay. Right to the second.
Whoa, good job. I tried to fact check whether Cinderella was the first thing that came to people's head when asked.
Surprisingly, no results.
But it was released as a children's album in conjunction with the theatrical release.
Yes.
Can confirm no princes will be coming around to kiss you when you're
asleep. Have you eaten a poison apple?
Oh, I haven't eaten the poison apple yet. Well. Look, guys, we'll put it in the show notes.
Get me a crate of poison apples right now.
I will just say Stacey called anyone who would eat a poison apple stupid. So,
well, you heard it here first. I'll stick by it. I'll say it again.
All right, am I right to go?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's do it.
My time starts when I start talking. Okay. I'm not going to badmouth Cinderella. I think it's a great film. I think it's an integral part of the Disney canon. It added everything that Stacey said to the Disney canon, and its treatment of women in modern terms is much more sophisticated. However, Snow White was the first. It was the sounding board that everything else came from. The innocent princess is what all the other princesses are compared to. When Cinderella achieves princesshood, she becomes what Snow White was going to be at the end of her film. That is what all the princesses go towards being. Snow White was first. Yes, it was the first animated feature-length film of all time. Yes, it saved Walt Disney. Not once, but several times. In 1944, at the end of World War II, Walt Disney re-released Snow White to build money, raise revenue for building a new studio during World War II. It was then re-released again seven more times up until 1994. This is a film that Walt Disney keeps going back to. It is part of their legacy. It is something that cannot be denied even now. Yes, the messages are not what we currently put in there, but we only have Moana, we only have Rapunzel because we had Snow White to start with. We only have Maleficent because of the Evil Queen. We only have all of our favourite woodland creatures and sidekicks because of Snow White. That wasn't part of the original folktale. That is something that Disney put in. That is a long-lived Disney tradition that we would not have and if it was not for Snow White. And while Cinderella is a great Disney movie, I think that Snow White is the better Disney movie because it created the legacy that Snow White exists because of. And that's the end.
Great. Again, all facts, right? Raising revenue during the World War II period. Guys, you've done your homework. It was released 7
This would be easier if at least one of them hadn't.
Right? Wouldn't it be? I'll be like, you
being the regular grandmaster, I have to do my homework or otherwise
you look bad.
I kind of undermine everything that I've done up to this point.
So now is the part where I get to just stop and look at my notes.
And guys, talking to your microphone a little bit.
And
more.
You guys get to talk about the movie more when I try not to listen.
Yeah, so I haven't said anything bad about Cinderella because there's nothing really bad you can't say about Cinderella. It is a classic for a reason.
Yeah.
Like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo is the greatest.
Banger.
I love it. And the animal friends in it are some of the best animal friends in any Disney ever.
Yeah.
They give them personality, which is I think maybe the first time that the animal friends have personality in a Disney film.
Yeah.
And their own little stories and motivations.
And little intricacies about how they all interact with each other and the relationships that they have with each other. Yeah, it's super cute.
And the effects and the pumpkin carriage, all the visuals are much more sophisticated in
which it would be
in Cinderella, of course.
Later.
Because I mean, you have that kind of template of how to create this thing built up already.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think Snow White's one of my mum's favorite. I remember. It's the only one I can remember her speaking about.
Mm.
Oh, she might have spoken to me about Bambi, but I think that was her and my dad's first date was to go see Snow White.
Aww.
I'm pretty sure.
That's
in the cinema or something. Oh, anyway, but I remember her talking about it in the cinema. It was one of the VHSs that we had at home. I hadn't watched it for so long, and rewatching again was really, really fun. The Evil Queen is just, she's so deliciously up evil. Like the whole, I just love how she asks the magic mirror, who is the fairest? And he's like, not you. And she's like, right, well, she got to die. Like, well, there's no consideration. Yeah. It's not like, well, I'll maim her in some way. No, I'm going to straight up murder her.
Yeah.
I'll just send someone out and then, just so you can prove it, can you slice out her heart? I just think that is just pure Disney villain right there. And I don't know I wonder if she's the most vicious of all of the Disney villains, really. Oh, Frollo's probably
pretty
up there.
Bad.
But she's right up there as far as, like, you know, Maleficent is badass, but she just is like, you're just going to sleep.
Well, she does. Maleficent is going to kill her, but the fairies go, no, no, no.
That's right. Correct it. But anyway, I just love that. I just love her. She's just like, I'm just going to straight up kill her and cut out her heart.
And I think that's again the source material.
Yeah,
is they couldn't go too far from that, or they would get in trouble for going too far.
Oh,
from
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just and mood is reused very like the darks and that whole thing with the dwarves chasing her and she's trying to like kill him with the rock and then like there's this whole
the scary forest
tension.
Transformation.
Oh, I meant to mention the terrifying forest which is running through and they all like personify and she's like screaming. Yeah, it's just
which when you were a little kid in the deep dark wood at night,
there was a painting in my grandmother's house of a tree, and it looked like a monster, like the form of it. And every time I'd go down the hallways, we'd be like, and run to my room, and I'd look at it in the day, and I knew that was a tree, but at night that was terrifying. And I think Snow White had a lot to do with that. And I wasn't, you know, that party, you know, when as a child. Where like intellectually you know enough to not be afraid of the thing, yet you're still afraid of the thing just in case. It was like that kind of like, I know that's a painting of a tree, but also that's terrifying and just in case it'll get me, I'm going to run.
Just to be safe.
But, I do love Snow White. This is a hard one. They're so They're both so good and so similar. So
Miranda's made a decision.
It's up to you, my friend.
Did you make
half the world is going to dislike you after this?
I know. Look, this. I'm going to talk through this a little bit.
Okay. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. All right. So I've sort of gone with a few. Like categorized my notes a little bit and figured out sort of who wins in each thing. And certainly Snow White has this legacy for Disney, setting up the archetypes of these characters and, you know, setting up all the what will become the tropes and the formula of the Disney princess film in a lot of ways. So, you know, points to them for, for setting up the genre, you know, also the sort of financial legacy of saving the studio, creating this milestone of the first full length animated feature, the risks that Walt Disney himself took to, you know, throw all his eggs in this basket.
And you will notice I didn't quote Walt Disney as saying it was his favourite film because so many people have quoted so many different films that
all
were his favourite.
All the films are my favourite. At one point, probably while he was working on this, this was his favourite film. A personal, like, micro point off because they use the word dwarfs instead of dwarves with a V. But that nobody brought that up. That was just me throwing that in there. as far as the princess element goes, you got to give props to Snow White for being the ultimate princess goal. But I really do feel like if you look at the trajectory of the successful princesses of Disney, who they put in the front of that triangle now, Snow White and Sleeping Beauty are right up the back going, look, we'll try and hide them where no one can remember that they didn't actually do anything in their movies.
Yes.
I think that Cinderella took, like you actually said, Zane, you know, she still has this kindness, but hers is kindness through you know, despite her situation, and you know, there is a little bit of inaction and reliance on fate, which is what Stacey brought up. So I got to give the princess points to Cinderella on that point. Again, coming back to, like, you know, the side creatures, the woodland creatures, they all came up in Snow White, but I think Cinderella did them better. And you look at the way those were used in other films.
No argument from me.
Yeah, it's that's part of it.
Cinderella.
I got to give the villain points to Snow White, though,
because straight up.
That is definitely a very, very strong point. Also, the setting up of that iconic evil green and the way the character is used to drive the story.
Which is the evil green again in Lady Tremaine's eyes.
It's just sort of put in there. But when you think about Disney villains, that you know, you don't really think about the villain in Cinderella. No. The villain is her situation and she's put upon, but we don't really care why or how.
Evil Queen is right
So the Evil Queen definitely goes to Snow White. So Snow White's got this the legacy, the setup of the genre, the villain. Cinderella just went the next step with just about everything else, though. The music is certainly much more popular, like, has stood the test of time a lot longer, and Stacey did give a lot of points about why her music was used well in the film, so I went with Cinderella for its use of music. Also, how it was scored, it was making some things about that, and for me, I think a fair bit of this came down to the philosophy of Disney being the happiest place in the world and creating joy and fun. And while Snow White is lovely, I think we get a lot more humour and certainly magic in Cinderella. So Walt Disney loves that moment where the dress transforms. They spend a lot of time creating the mystery and magic and sparkle with Cinderella. And I think that went on to define Disney's entire brand more so than just the princess. So in this case, I have decided that Cinderella is the better Disney film.
Congratulations. That's very fair.
Yeah, I thought that was well.
It was so hard.
It is.
That's harder than debating. I'm sorry, Zane.
Yeah, I know it's harder than debating.
I would not want Zane's job. Not for a million years.
Oh, my God.
That's all very fair. Like, that's the thing. I couldn't say too much bad about Cinderella because its legacy is almost as strong as Snow White's.
And really the same for Snow White. Mm. Like, it was amazing. And really the main points are it was a product of its time, which you could say exactly the same of Cinderella. So,
but yeah, like, but as you said, like everything since then has kind of gone away from what Snow White was because you know that gives you the starting point, and then you kind of got better from there in terms of the representation of women.
And there wouldn't be, I mean. You know, we were talking about more modern princesses in the in the brand, like Merida, Moana, even the Frozen sisters. You know, without the basis of what was of the inactive, fate-driven princess who was not in control of her life, without having that comparison, there would be no point in making those others either. So even if it is a little bit of, you know, here's what not to strive for that they unintentionally made back then, you know, it's a very important part of the overall story of the Disney princess franchise.
Absolutely. Well, if you think Miranda made the wrong choice, you can let us know on Facebook.
Just be quiet, you to say that.
there will be a poll up there this week if you're listening to this. So you can also find us on Twitter and on Instagram. Now, next week we will be going on to our wild card debates, and then after that our popular vote debates. Then round two is over and we're on to round three.
Crazy.
With a new format. This time there will be teams of two representing each film. So look forward to that. Start hyping it to your Disney fan friends. And we will be back next week with our wild card. Thank you very much for grandmastering today, Miranda.
I'd like to say it was my pleasure, but it was torment. It's just torment the whole time.
Thank you very much for fact checking so diligently, KB.
Anytime.
Congratulations on your win, Stacey. You can find more from Stacey and Disney Grown Up.
That's right. So if you want to hear myself and Georgina, my co-hosts, commentary on Cinderella, we've done an episode. It's out in the world. And actually watching Snow White, I'm like, we need to do a Snow White one because I have lots of things to say and comment on. So yes, check it out.
All right. Well, until next time, keep watching Disney, everyone.
Are you a grown-up who loves Disney?
Are you a grown-up who wants all the facts?
Are you a grown-up who spends copious hours arguing with friends and family about the deep intellectual properties of your favourite Disney movie?
Do you want to delve deeper into the realms of Disney with us?
I'm Stacey.
And I'm Georgina.
And together, we're Disney Grown-Up. We are the place to get all of the intellectual debate on your favourite Disney movie.
Get all of those fun facts.
And a whole heap of raw reactions to all of those interesting Disney movie moments. You can find us where any good podcast is found or on our website, thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
Join us for Disney Grown Up.
You know you want to.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.